Lingua Britannica is a podcast that uses ethnographic interviews to study language use in the extreme metal community. We are studying a music scene known for its love of themes and topics generally considered offensive, and it is likely that some episodes will touch on topics or opinions some listeners may find tasteless or ethically problematic. Ethnographic researchers aim to adopt the interviewee's point of view so that we can draw out and study the attitudes, beliefs, and practices that are important to them. We want to make it clear that in presenting these conversations here, we do not endorse any of their content. Our aim is to explore the thought processes behind language use in this long-running, international, and yet understudied scene. Welcome back to Lingua Britannica with me, Jess Crook, and my co-host, Wes Robertson.
Hello.
Today we're doing something a bit different by interviewing what we hope will be the first of many returning interviewees. We are, of course, talking to Jason, who appeared in episode 44, talking about lyrics for Psychroptic, but is back on the podcast today to talk about his new work with Domination Campaign. Welcome back, Jason.
Cheers. How you going?
Good.
Very well.
Just like you, I imagine we're enjoying the Australian summer, enjoying in air quotes.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm down in Tassie, so it's been like between about 20 and 25 degrees each day, so it's
okay. Well, now we're both mad, so
suffering over here in my 45 yeah. degree heat.
Oh geez, where are you? You're in Perth, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm in Perth. Yeah.
Oh god.
All right. Well, since you're the coolest and collected, I guess we'll be. It's good we're asking you the questions, right? So you can have the answers that aren't suffering from heat stroke. Normally, we have obviously a set list of background questions that we kind of ask everyone that are the same, but we've already asked you them. So this kind of throws for a loop. So as a result, we're going to throw out everything we normally do to start and try an entirely different set of starter questions. Yeah. Really keeping one of our old ones, which is just how would you describe Domination Campaign's music to someone who hasn't heard it before? Encyclopedia Metallum just describes you as death metal, which is one of the, like, the least descriptive, it's just like no qualifications on it. And in multiple interviews and press releases, we've seen Bolt Thrower mentioned as an influence. So like, is death metal alone just fine, or do you have a different term for it?
Yeah, no, it's just, I think the approach with this band was basically try to make it, so there was no subgenres needed. It's just listen to it, and it's exactly as you'd imagine if under the word of death metal, basically. Okay. So we didn't want to do.
You don't need any adjectives?
No, we didn't need tech death, slamming death grind, or any of that. It's just like it's death metal. That's what it is, and that's exactly what we wanted to do.
So does this kind of simplicity carry through to the origins of the band? Like, can you tell us how this project kind of came about and what fundamentally kind of motivated you to start, like, this other project in addition to Psychro, especially one that takes Domination Campaign's approach to metal, you know?
Well, I mean, basically, it had been something that I'd always toyed around with. Like, I've always played guitar, but sort of, I don't know, for quite a few years it was really put on the back burner, and I wanted to, you know, start taking it a bit more seriously. So I thought, well, if I look into doing some sort of project where I'm playing guitar, then that kind of forces me to pick the guitar up a lot more often. And so basically I just started by writing a whole bunch of songs. And so, the idea had been in the works for quite a few years, but it wasn't until COVID came around that I actually had the time to turn it into something. And then, so basically, I went into the studio with Joe when we couldn't tour anymore with Psychroptic, and I just started recording the songs on the guitars. I had no idea, you know, what I was going to do for drums, vocals, whatever. It was just like, all right, I've got all these songs written on guitar, let's just get them recorded and then see what happens. And then Joe from Psychroptic was doing the recording on it, and he asked the question, what are you doing for drums? And I said, I don't know, maybe a program, maybe talk to your brother, whatever, I don't know. And Joe just put his hand up because he's a great rock drummer, and he said, I'll do it. be something fun, gives him the opportunity to play a bit more drums and stuff. And so, yeah, it all just sort of came from there. And then I sort of toyed with the idea of getting a singer in, a bass player in and stuff, but we did just draw the conclusion that things will be quicker, easier if it's streamlined. You know, Joe plays drums, does all the production, mixing, mastering. I write, play all the instruments and take care of all the artwork. So, yeah, and then after the, like, we had no intention in the beginning of doing more than one album with it. But the first album, we were really, really happy with how it came out. It got a good response and we thought, you know what, we're still in a position where we couldn't tour, so we just thought, let's go again. And so basically the second album was written and recorded and finished, ready to go about a month after the first album was released.
Oh, wow.
So we have been, this one we have been sitting on it for, I'm going to say about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years before it was released. So, yeah, this album, strangely, well, this was finished, I think, from memory, but just before the Psychroptics last album was finished as well. So
why'd you sit on it?
It was more just the release schedule thing with Prosthetic Records, because obviously they didn't want to be dropping the first album and then a year later dropping the next one. And we had Psychroptic in there as well, which was going to take a lot of my time up and touring coming back on. So it was just the way it worked out. I mean, it would have been good to have got it out sooner, mm-hmm. because kind of by the time it came out, it was, for me and Joe anyway, it was kind of old news. And so now we're sort of looking, you know, in a forward direction towards writing another album and stuff. But we're kind of just, I suppose, squaring up the second album now. So, yeah, but I mean, it's a project we're both pretty excited on, and we've just actually been in talks with Cameron Grant, the original bass player out of Psychroptic, and he might be coming on board if all goes to plan to join and write the third album with us.
Awesome.
So, yeah, should be a fun time.
So in our last interview, you mentioned that as you were getting older, you were looking for, quote, dirtier and heavier and more extreme music. But you also mentioned that you're, quote, falling back in love with old school death metal. Does Domination Campaign scratch both of these issues, or is it more like Psychroptic scratches one and Domination gets the other?
I think Domination Campaign's definitely scratching the itch of the traditional death metal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of where my background really always was. You know, you've got like your usual suspects, your Morbid Angel, your Deicides, your Bolt Throwers, your Incantations and all that was always such a big thing on me, but I never really drew sort of influence from that stuff to use in Psychroptic.
Mm-hmm.
Because Psychroptic, I suppose, took more the modern thrash tech death, you know, that's I suppose more of a modern approach we've taken from the beginning. So I never really used to draw that much inspiration from all those early influences on me. And so I think this was just a really good, you know, the Domination Campaign stuff was just a really good opportunity for me to sort of step back to where it all started for me, really.
Well, as you mentioned, Domination Campaign's first album came out in 2021, you know, 3 years after Psychroptic's As the Kingdom Drowns and just a year before Divine Council, and just under a decade since you joined Psychroptic as a vocalist, right? So at this time, we can say you definitely, you know, had quite a bit of lyric writing experience under your belt when you released that first Domination Campaign album. So do you feel like this time writing for, you know, Psychroptic influenced how you began writing lyrics for Domination Campaign, or were you trying to kind of create a more distinct approach in your lyric writing, or kind of avoid overlap there?
Stylistic similarities. Hence why, I mean, Psychroptic's always had that, I suppose, just looking at the modern world and drawing on failures and you know, my take on and my views and opinions, I suppose, on the modern world, where Domination Campaign, it was kind of like, I've always had that bit of fascination with the world wars and stuff. It was always something that, you know, my dad was always watching documentaries, movies. There was always books sitting around the house. So it's always been a point of interest, you know. And then you've got a lot of, you know, early death metal bands like Bolt Thrower. The big comparison that everyone makes is all about, you know, war and stuff. And I just thought, well, look, if I go down the route of, you know, looking back in history more than anything, at least the I suppose subject matter is not going to overlap with Psycroptic. And then it's just a matter of, I suppose, trying to take a different approach to, you know, how I word things and stuff. I mean, obviously my style of writing is my style of writing, and that's always going to, it's always going to show through to some sort of extent. But I suppose it was just that whole trying to grab onto a subject matter that wasn't going to overlap with what Psycroptic was. And especially with, I mean, because we do want to keep going with Domination Campaign, I don't want it to crop up that I'm, you know, writing an album for Psycroptic and writing an album for Domination Campaign at the same time, and then it gets to the point where, you know, lyrics are interchangeable or anything. That was a big thing that I wanted to avoid.
Well, that's actually what I was also going to ask is, since you've been working on Domination Campaign, have you ever felt any of the things you were doing there leak into Psycroptic, or is there a wall that you're keeping, like, both sides out from touching?
Yeah, I try my best to keep the two really separate. I mean, there was one song on the first album where the lyrics, one of the verses out of it were actually an outtake from a Psycroptic song, because I can't remember which one it was. I don't know. I think it was just some of the way the wordplay was together. It wasn't really working as a Psycroptic thing, but I could kind of twist the base of it into a Domination Campaign song. So that was probably the only thing where there's been, you know, some sort of overlap, but I think it was the last song that I was writing for with the first Domination Campaign album. So it was kind of like more, I just needed a few words to get me started almost. And I always have, when I'm working on Psycroptic albums, there's always all the outtakes, you know, the things that don't quite make the cut or don't fit, or I might write a set of lyrics and a whole verse might get taken out because when we go to record it, it's like, well, it doesn't fit or whatever, and it's not going to make the lyrics not make sense if we take it out. So I've always got my little bin of, you know, lines and phrases and stuff, which, yeah, I'll often do go back to it to try and just, I don't know, spark some sort of inspiration. So that, but there was, yeah. So there's only, to answer your question, there's only been one time. Where so I've actually.
Sorry.
No, you're right. I'm done.
Both bands can then share kind of the same idea notebook.
Yeah, I suppose because the outtakes are generally, I suppose, they're usually not a crucial part of a song. That makes sense. It's often where maybe a bit of filler, I suppose, that I didn't know, I didn't realize that it was filler when I was writing the song, but when putting in the context of actually singing and recording the song, it's kind of like, yeah, there's no need for that to be there, sort of thing.
Okay.
Well, given the amount of times that we've seen Bolt Thrower mentioned in press about the band, and of course in your own description of the band, you know, we have to ask kind of a blunt question, which is, you know, was there any direct Bolt Thrower influence on how you approach the lyrics? And, you know, did you revisit a lot of the writing of Bolt Thrower, like, during the preparation of your songs, or is this more of a kind of indirect relationship?
I think the thing where everybody makes a comparison with Bolt Thrower is, I think it was more so on the first album, there was directly a lot of musical influence, and it was musical influence that I wasn't trying to hide it. You know, it was very out there in the open. It's like, I love this band. They're a big influence on me. I love the riff, you know. So I think it was more that, and just because of the fact that the topic is war, but I think the comparison that people more draw with it is like musically rather than lyrically or vocally. Mm-hmm. I mean, my vocal delivery is very different to what Carl from Bolt Throwers is. Yeah. I mean, so yeah, so I think the comparison is more to do on the musical side than anything else.
Okay. Well, speaking of war, talk about the band's thematic choices. That's clearly like the major topic of this band. However, the warfare that you discuss is clearly located in a specific time period. Your tracks mention bunkers, shelling, foxholes, sulfur, snipers, barbed wire, bayonets, tanks, cannons, and artillery. And you even have a track called The Modern Age of War and D-Day. And lyrics like 85 million dead very clearly reference the Second World War, while 141 Days of Terror references the Battle of Somme, one of the deadliest battles in World War I in human history. So what's the goal in specifically situating your discussion of warfare between, say, 1900, 1960, rather than, you know, post-1960 or, of course, the entirety of human history before 1900?
Growing up, it was always World War One and World War Two that my old man was interested in. I suppose that it's always had that whole, you know, the documentaries you've watched, the books you read, you know, the knowledge that I've gained probably more than anything is relating to those wars. So, and I suppose that's more what it is. It's just more what I've got more knowledge of and probably a greater interest in. And obviously having family members that fought in both those wars as well.
Makes
it a little bit more sense rather than, you know, the getting into Iraq wars and more modern, you know, from this day and age. It just, I suppose, I don't know, doesn't have the, I just don't have the interest as much in it as such. And they're not topics that I don't keep up with what's going on in the world so much as I get older, kind of, you know, on my little island down here in Tassie, living in my own bubble. So, you know, yeah, so it's more to, I suppose, yeah, just more what I've got more knowledge of and what just interests me more, I suppose.
Well, metal is obviously no stranger to discussions of medieval warfare, swords, sorcery, and conquest, but these themes are kind of absent in your lyrics. Is there a reason, or is it something you're just not keen to explore, keener to kind of keep it all grounded in the real?
Yeah, I think more just keep it in the realms of real rather than getting all Dungeons and Dragons with it at this point. But, in saying that, it's kind of one of those things. I've done two albums now which sort of keep along the same sort of lyrical themes, same topics and stuff, and it's like I'm sort of thinking of where am I going to go with the next album? Do I look further back in history and start looking into that sort of thing, or, you know, because I can't say that I'm going to be drawing that much more inspiration from World War One and World War Two. But in saying that, when the time actually comes, who knows? When you get yourself into those creative headspaces, you know, you can pretty much amaze yourself a lot of the times with where your ideas and where your train of thought can go. So I suppose it's just a matter of seeing what happens a little bit moving forward.
So when the third album comes out, we'll find out if you found a D&D group or not then, right?
Exactly, yeah. It's funny. I listen to a lot of black metal as well, and there was a few bands that me and my friends had bought records of which were really that sort of Dungeons and Dragons sort of black metal stuff, and we were making jokes about it only the other week that we're going to have to start wearing cloaks and drinking mead out of horns and playing Dungeons and Dragons with our Friday nights, but I don't think it'll happen in the real world.
Yeah, and you've got the forest and mountain setting there in Tassie, so, you know, you're in the right place for it.
I don't know, man. Dungeons and Dragons meat in a cloak, I'd do it.
It's a good Friday. I would too, but I just don't think my friends are going to be into it. And every time I joke about this sort of stuff, my kids look at me like I'm a fucking idiot. So, but who cares? might have to wait till the sun goes away and we're in the fog and got the snow and all that sort of shit going on down here and see what happens.
Yeah, you can whip out the Dungeon Master's Handbook. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Well, generally speaking, we took the lyrics of Domination Campaign that you've written so far as fairly blatantly anti-war. The first album ends with song the lines, ammunition is scarce, sleep deprivation takes its toll, or stockpile your ammo, don't stop to pray, no God can save you now. And the new record talks about a battle where now the victors amongst this inferno, charred corpses line these city streets, or a scene of, quote, endless entrenchment with no relief, no victors, march only eternal death, which ends with a line, this trench will soon become your grave, all hope fading now, you won't, you know you won't be saved. But there are lines that have sort of bravery in the face of death being praised, like from the new album, time to storm these trenches, face-to-face attack, or now we make our stand, sworn to retake this land, ending this tyranny was never going to be easy, or even the closing lines of the album of against all odds, we overcame the defender's reign. So there seems to be like a tricky balance here of making war seem horrible and miserable, a place where there are no real victors, but also lauding the efforts of brave soldiers in combat. Did you find yourself struggling to kind of get the right balance of these two tones? And assuming we're right that these two tones exist.
Yeah, no, you hit it on the head there. But no, I think it was pretty natural. I tried to see. I didn't want it to be. I don't know. I didn't want to be glorifying. Like you get a lot of bands. I mean, you see it more with like, I suppose European hard rock bands and stuff like bands like Sabaton and that, which it's very much glory and, you know, war's great and, you know, victory march and all that sort of stuff. I wanted it to be portrayed more like, I suppose if you watch, I suppose movies like All Quiet on the Western Front, like the new version of that, how absolutely terrifying and brutal and it's not a place that you ever want to find yourself, you know. Like, I wanted it to be more descriptive on that side of things rather than, you know, like a 70s or 80s World War movie where it's all glorious and happy and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, there is the whole thing of, you know, there was a lot of men that did a lot of brave things and risk their life for the greater good and all the rest. So, yeah, I suppose it was a bit of a delicate balancing act. But I think it was one of those things with the second album because I'd had the experience of writing the first album a year prior. I think I'd kind of found my feet with where I wanted to go with the second album. So it did, I don't know, it wasn't hard to get myself into the mindset of writing it.
Well, obviously writing about warfare and heroism without glorifying it is a tricky process, as you've said. And when we talked about Psychroptic, you were kind of open to fan interpretation. But we imagine that's less the case here. Like, certainly we imagine, you know, do correct us if we're wrong, but that you wouldn't want people to take this project as one that kind of uncritically glorifies and celebrates war. Like, did you have any hesitation kind of making this, like, the primary topic for a project? And, like, you know, does that affect how you write these thoughts about how people will engage with them?
Not so much because a lot of it with the Domination Campaign stuff, I didn't feel that as many people would actually read the lyrics as what would with Psychic, to be honest, because it is more of an underground release and just the style of music it is. I know with a lot of brutal death metal and stuff, I would never pick up a lyric sheet, but whereas if I'm listening to, I don't know, something a bit deeper, like, I don't know, like band like Emperor or something like that, I am more inclined to pick it up because you know a band like that's probably put more effort in, if that makes sense. I might be wrong, but I mean, that's how I view it. And I'm pretty certain a lot of other people have sort of got the same approach with it. They don't, I suppose with this sort of music, people don't get as connected to it as such. It's more something that, you know, a band like this is something people will put on while they're driving in the car and be fist bumping and going, fuck yeah, this is heavy and stuff, rather than making an emotional connection with it, I suppose I'd say. Which, and as soon as you get that emotional connection, people want to know more what the song's about, which turns them, I suppose, to the lyric sheets.
I don't think we've ever gotten a comment like that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're not saying, like, you know, no one has to read my lyrics. It doesn't matter. It's just the head. Like, it seems like you're almost dismissing the work you put in a little bit. I don't know.
No, I try to not be delusional. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a death metal band, which, you know, it's never going to be like a giant thing. I mean, obviously I want my lyrics to be good. I want them to be something that I'm very happy with.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I suppose that's just from an artist's point of view. You always have that opinion on your work. You don't want to release something that in your mind is shit, but I don't know, to an extent, with especially something underground like this, I don't have so much attachment to it that I really care too much what other people think.
Okay, well, it's pragmatic.
So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I suppose that's what makes this project so enjoyable for me, is that there's no expectation from fans, labels, media, anything like that. You know, I'm not trying to be groundbreaking. I'm not trying to do anything new, innovative, because I do all that with Psychroptic. So this one's purely, I don't know, it's purely for me more than anything. It's just like one of those selfish, guilty pleasures. But I'm glad that enough people do like it that it warrants me doing more of it, you know, and it warrants record labels picking it up and releasing it and all the rest, so that, you know, then I don't have to pick up the slack and do self-releasing because I'm not interested in that at all. All I want to do is write and record music.
That is good, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, oftentimes we see metal bands who write about like events that happened in the previous eras, like you do with this project, attempting to reproduce kind of the archaic language of that time or how people were imagined to speak back then. But obviously, the period of history you're writing about is not like as distant as ancient history. But the way that people spoke in the 1900s was certainly different to how they speak in like 2023. But it doesn't seem like you've attempted to recreate that style at all. Your lyrics are quite modern, if not even conversational, modern English.
Yeah.
Is there a reason that you decided to use this more current language?
I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest.
Okay.
I suppose it's just what came naturally to me, I suppose. I mean, okay. I don't think it would have come had I been trying to I suppose recreate the language from that time. It would have probably been difficult for me because I would have been having to do a lot more research and stuff, and it would have taken a lot of the spontaneity out of it. And it would have been probably a lot more work, which I don't know is not so much what doing domination campaigns about. It is more about spontaneous, get it done, you know, not dwelling on it, on the writing of it for too long. Because you do see a lot of time where people will have these side projects and stuff, but it takes them so many years because they put so much pressure on themselves for it to be a certain thing or whatever. Whereas me and Joe were like, fuck that. We want to pump the albums out. We, you know, the fire's strong with us at that point, you know. And I mean, in the course of 18 months, we'd basically written and recorded two albums. So I suppose it was just trying to keep everything natural is what I'm trying to get at with, I mean, the music was really spontaneous and you know, not overthought. And I guess, like, lyrically, it was just whatever felt comfortable, whatever came naturally was where we tended to go with it.
Well, along similar lines, a lot of your writing is very much in the present and even active tense, despite these events obviously being set in the past. So, for instance, your first album has 23 words ending in ing, like dying for a cause, supplies are running out, or men dropping like flies. And the new album has 48, so more than double in lines like no warning to be heard, cutting through flesh, or crawling through blood and rot. So why did you adopt this here and now approach to the stories that you're telling, you know, that are about the past?
I have no idea. To be honest, I hadn't really thought. It's just where I went with it, I guess, how I was feeling when I was writing. And like I say with this, a lot of it was very spontaneously written. It would be watch a documentary on World War One. Battle of the Somme was, you know, the topic of it. Grab the facts and off I went. not a lot of thought, I suppose, in the language as such, which obviously I'd do more of with Psychroptic. I'd probably watch a little bit more of how it's done, but with this, I suppose it comes down to that spontaneous thing again. It's just the first thing that came out that sounded cool to me, had the right amount of syllables. And like I think we discussed last time with when we were talking about Divine Council and stuff, a lot of my writing does come down to syllable count, how it's actually going to fit to a song. And so that's why sometimes it can be that I'll write a line that sounds really cool, but then when I actually go to sing it to the song, the phrase mightn't have enough syllables or it might have too much, so then I've got to hit the thesaurus to find a word that sounds cool still but is shorter or longer or whatever. And sometimes that is simply a word will get changed to something just for that syllable factor, which sometimes... And that's, I suppose, the thing with writing songs at the end of the day as well, as opposed to, I suppose, writing poetry or writing a book or something. You've always got that added extra challenge that it's not just a line standalone that sounds great on its own. It's got to sound great to be read, but it's also got to sound rhythmically great with the song. So it always adds that extra layer of challenge to it, where sometimes you just can't use the word that you want because it just won't fucking fit.
Well, just kind of like a thought experiment. Like, if you took some of the lyrics you've written for this and were saying them in the past, you know, like they ran instead of they run, or like they fought instead of they fight. Syllables aside, like, how do you think that would change kind of the impact of what's going on, or is it just like...
I don't think so. I think the general gist of where I'm going will sound the same. And I think I discussed this last time when we were talking about Psychroptic stuff, that I often have the problem of perspective. So sometimes it'll be I'll start a song and it's from the perspective of me, but by the end I'm singing or writing the perspective of you, and it just flips sometimes. So I do have that sort of thing, and obviously it probably happens with, I suppose, this sort of perspective as well, where I probably don't pay as much attention to it when I'm writing as what I should.
So there was no intent behind this kind of...
No. That's just what's come out, and I mean, I know with Psychroptic, I've had it so many times where the perspective does shift in the middle of a song, and then I'll sort of realize when I get to the end, it's like, oh, now I've got to redo that again. I've got to pick what's better and rewrite the other half of the song. So, but yeah, like I say, with this one, I didn't get too hung up on that sort of stuff.
Well, another pattern that we saw is that there's a kind of penchant for noun connecting word noun titles on the new release particularly. So like Time to Die, Winds of Death, Storm the Lines, Pit of Disease. So indeed, you seem to really like these kind of three word song titles, because I think 12 out of 16 of your songs to date are three words long. So I guess to be just kind of, you know, basic about it, like, have you noticed this and what's going on here?
No, I hadn't noticed until you pointed out. I guess it's just a pattern that I've formed for this stuff. I suppose it's probably, I don't know. And like naming songs has always been something I've had such a hard time with. And with this, it's, I suppose it's no different. And it's probably I've just latched onto a pattern that works and just kept going with it without even realizing.
Okay. So there's no like, no deep psychological fascination with three?
No, not that I know of anyway.
Okay.
It would probably come out now that you've pointed it out. I'll be thinking, fuck.
Well, the third album, right? It's going to have to. It's going to.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have to keep the theme going with it now, especially now you've pointed it out.
Yeah, fans are expecting it.
Yeah. It's canon now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so we kind of want to move now to explore like Domination Campaign versus Psycroptic, talking about both overlaps and differences. And one clear overlap is that neither of these projects have much cursing. In fact, Domination Campaign's lyrics are completely clean. When we asked you about this last time, your answer was at first, I don't know. But then you noted that you swore a lot in Stage Banner and kind of in your day to day. And maybe there's a bit of a difference between like the stage and the song. And we discussed the topic, but didn't kind of come to a real answer. So just in case this question has been percolating in your brain since then, do you have any new ideas for why you just do not swear in your lyrics?
No.
No?
I don't know. It's one I've been asked about so many times. And I think even with Steve from Prosthetic Records, because you always have to mark when we submit our masters and all the info and everything. For an album, you have to mark what's explicit, like what songs have got explicit language in it. And when I submitted this one, Steve emailed me back and he said, oh, can you put a marker for what songs have got explicit language in it? And I said, there's none. Mm-hmm. Goes, oh, again. I don't know why. I mean, it just, I don't know. It's just never seems to fit, I suppose, or maybe it just, I don't know, it feels like if it's used too much, it feels like it's too easy almost. I don't know if I'm describing it right, but it's almost like using a swear word is almost taking the easy way out, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And I don't really want to take the easy way out when I'm writing with things, so maybe it's that. If I was a rapper, I would definitely have to use more curse words. but no, I don't know why this whole thing for. I think there's only one on the whole Psycroptic discography. I think there's only, you know, I've used the word fuck once in one song out of what, six, seven, however many albums I've written. So
yeah, it's pretty low ratio.
I don't think you're even close to that using it too much level.
And that's the thing. I mean, I was only out on tour with Psycroptic, was that 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or something, and I was quite aware of it on stage how much I do swear. but never in the lyric writing. So I don't know what that is really.
Do you reckon it has something to do with like written versus like spoken language? Like, is it weird to write, say, fuck in a way that it wouldn't be weird to say it in spontaneous conversation?
Probably. I think sometimes, and I know with me as well, when I'm in the middle of a conversation and if you have that blank moment, you might say the word fuck. It's that sort of word that comes out to pause while you figure out the next word you're going to say. And I've noticed a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
And I suppose when I'm writing, you've got all you're not rushed. You know, you've got all the time in the world to think of that next word. So there's probably not much need for it, I suppose, when you've got that time to think of a better word, because the swear word is not really the greatest word you can use generally in day to day. You wouldn't say money your grandmother, so I don't know.
Well, this actually does relate to our next question, because obviously swearing is very common in Australian English. And a question that we asked in our last chat was whether speaking Australian English influenced how you wrote, to which you gave a pretty blunt, you know, no response. Can we assume that this is still the case for Domination Campaign?
Yep.
Okay. Right. Simple.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I can remember, I don't think I really used any sort of Australianisms.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that, oi, mate, how's it going?
Didn't see any of that, no.
No, there's no tradesman talk in there. I keep that to the building sites.
Well, given that, we noted something minor that we're wondering if it was intentional, and that is that you use American spelling, like dishonor is written without a U, immobilized and immortalized are written with a Z rather than an S. There's a use of honor on the album with a U, though, on the new album. So, you know, we're wondering what's going on here. Did you want your lyrics to fit in autocorrect?
I was wondering about that.
Okay, so this isn't like... Some of it
would have been written out on my phone, like on notes, and then some of it would have been done on my written out on my computer. So it would have just totally depended where the spell checker corrected it, which way it went.
You weren't trying to do American spelling, and like the label wasn't making you doing a certain spelling. This is
not.
This is like the most practical interview we've ever done.
Yeah. It's simply what the spell checker would have given. I probably spelled it one way, and then a spell checker might have picked it up and changed it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we see an honor with you, we can say, oh, he wrote that one on this device.
Yeah, yep.
Okay. Because
that was a weird one. I hadn't even noticed, I think, on the first album, there was one that I wrote the lyrics. I think I typed them out on like Word or something like that. And then when I brought them into Photoshop, I think it was, or it was some graphic program, and it changed spellings on things. And I didn't pick up on it. And so, yeah, there was a few of those weird ones.
Huh.
But, yeah. So because I have to do all the lyrics and the spell checking and all that stuff with the Domination Campaign stuff. So there's probably more mistakes along these sort of lines than what there is in Cycroptic, because that goes out to third party people to deal with, and they're probably a bit more thorough because they're getting paid. Whereas me, I'm just like, oh, I think that's right. It's cool. The spell checker hasn't got anything underlined now. So, yeah, there's nothing.
Well, even if the use of like American spelling conventions isn't intentional, did you intend to avoid kind of Australian themes? Because, you know, if we talk about the like lyrics thematically, you don't seem to discuss any Australian wars, and you don't discuss like the Anzacs, for instance. Did you like intentionally kind of avoid these like kind of region specific references to war?
Not so much. I think, what song is it? Death Landing. I think it was the last song on the latest album. It was sort of loosely based on climbing the hills at Gallipoli.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mm. So it wasn't very descript, but that was kind of the idea that was in mind there. But, yeah, I don't know, it just sort of the Pacific War, you know, what happened in New Guinea and stuff like that. I suppose it was one that I did think about it after the fact, that I thought, you know, why didn't I add something like that in? My grandfather's fought there and all the rest. But I don't know, just when I was writing, like I say, I was watching a lot of documentaries and a lot of movies and stuff. So it was more the battles and stuff that were picked were more along the lines of, just the inspiration I was getting from the documentaries and the sources where I was getting my information at the time. So who knows, maybe we could go down the line with Australian stuff for the next album and we don't need to get that Dungeons and Dragons dungeon cloak out.
There we go.
Yeah, that'll be album 4 then.
Yeah, we'll get faster stuff eventually. I'll just have to keep writing.
So talking now about more differences between the two projects, we wanted to talk about something we discussed with you when we talked about Psychroptic that isn't in Domination Campaign, being the first, being the use of multisyllabic words, especially those ending in S-I-O-N or T-I-O-N. When we talked about Psychroptic, we mentioned that your albums for that band use these sometimes around 12 to 41 times per album, like in words like repression. But your first album for Domination Campaign uses just 6, unless we include words like option or invasion, which are, you know, don't really fit in what we're talking about here. And then you also has just 6, unless, again, we include invasion, in which case it goes up to 9, which, again, less than you've ever used on a Psychroptic album. Yep. Do you know why you might have avoided these kind of words? Last time you talked about how you felt that the shun words are kind of thrashy. Is Domination Campaign not thrashy enough for, like, repression?
Yeah, probably might have been just how my pronunciation was going or something. I don't know. It's probably more rhythmical more than anything. It wasn't a conscious thing at all. But yeah, I'd say the choice of word probably is because of a lot more because of a rhythmic type thing. It might be, I mean, Psychroptic, the delivery of the vocals is a lot faster than what it is on the Domination Campaign stuff. So it might be easier to get those sort of words out with Psychroptic than what it is with Domination Campaign, because as I write, I'm always writing with taking into account how it is fitting to the song and the delivery and the, you know, the syncopation and all that side of things as well. Mm-hmm. So that, like I think I spoke about before, that does dictate the way that I do select a lot of words. So I'd say it's probably more from that point of view than anything else.
So well, with both projects together, those shun words definitely just kind of fit the faster rhythms than like the slower ones of death metal?
I think so.
Well, that's interesting because we also don't have stats on this, but we definitely felt like the lyrics for Domination Campaign were, you know, involve simpler terms than Psychroptic. Like, there are still, like, multisyllabic words, but they seem to be fairly common words, like bombardment, impenetrable, or casualties. There's no words that we had to kind of look up, unlike last time, and there's no uses of kind of old English. So were you intentionally kind of avoiding these kind of features here?
I think that, I was trying to keep things very common, very, very stereotypical death metal. If that makes sense, you know, just straight down the line, simple. And that was the big thing with everything to do with Domination Campaign. The mission statement from the beginning was that everything had to be really simple, straightforward, and just everything straight down the line, nothing complex or anything. And that's, I suppose, the way we've gone with everything down to the lyrics, the delivery of the lyrics and all the rest.
Was that in part like to get a just to do something that was in a completely different space from the more cerebral Psychroptic stuff? Or
Yeah. Basically, I mean, obviously, like I said before, I've never been able to draw on my old school death metal love influences with Psychroptic so much. So yeah. It was just wanting to just really draw it out in that line with it.
Do you feel like death metal, especially the classic, is a genre that sort of embraces the more straightforward?
I think so. I mean, when you get bands like Cannibal Corpse and Bolt Thrower, Or a lot of that classic old stuff. I think it is very much, it's just simple. It's just straight down the line. It's hard. It's heavy. It's, you know, it's, I don't know how you'd say it. It's really that, it's that really sort of, you know, just testosterone fueled, you know, young 20 odd year old person just going for it, you know. They don't, there's not, you know, it doesn't have to be always overthought, over whatever. It's just spontaneous. It's just a bunch of people in a room just going for it. And it was, that's the thing I wanted to create or recreate. Obviously, I'm not a 21-year-old man anymore, so it's a little bit more challenging when you're in your 40s to do that stuff. But, you know, it was, yeah, it was really just trying to create that sort of old-school magic.
You also use a lot more rhyme on Domination Campaign, though. So in our last interview, you mentioned that you felt rhyme was something that needed to be used kind of sparingly with Psycroptic. And there are certain rhymeless songs on Domination Campaign, but there's some pretty blunt rhyme in this project.
Yep.
On the new album, we have the vermin feasting on slain, darkened shadows howling in pain. There shall be no victors, even with the battles won. The price of valor can never be undone. Rising up from the skies and sea, allied invasion of Normandy, storm the beach under heavy fire, blown to hell while tangled in barbed wire, or opposing forces charge the debris, lay them to waste so they can't flee. What might have brought about this increased use of rhyme? Is it related to the kind of simplicity, straightforwardness that you were talking about earlier?
Yep. Everything about this album was designed to be catchy and stick in your head. And we really felt that putting a lot more rhyming in it will sort of, yeah, give it that more catchy factor. And, you know, more for the listener to grab onto. So it was very much an intentional thing with this project, which I suppose is another thing, because it's not something that I typically do a lot of with Psycroptic. So it was another thing to sort of, I suppose, keep that degrees of separation a little bit as well.
Well, is this the same with your use of pronouns? Because you use a lot fewer pronouns on Domination Campaign. So firstly, you never use I once on either album. Is that what's going on here? Like, is there a reason why you're avoiding the first person in particular?
No, I hadn't really thought of that. I suppose it's with Psycroptic, a lot of it's like looking from my own perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, I've never fought in a war, so I couldn't put it from my own perspective. Maybe, I guess, would probably be the way that I'd probably say would be what's going on there.
What about the use of you? Because on your first album, you have only two uses of you and seven of we, but the new one, you have 15 you or yours and 10 we's. From our reading, the way these pronouns are used is pretty consistent to talk about soldiers in the battlefield or we as an entire army. But is the reason that the use of you, we, especially you, increased so much by speaking to a soldier rather than the more general about perspective that was on the first album? Is there an effect you're trying to achieve with that?
Not really, no. It's just, like I say, it's probably just more. It's just more the spontaneous factor, I suppose. It's just where I went. You know, where my first idea went, so I just stuck with it, I suppose.
Well, is it the spontaneity then that's kind of led to like a decreased use of like pronouns overall? Because I mean, even when we look at, you know, the second pronoun usage that Wes is just describing, it's still a lot less than what we see with, you know, Psycroptic. So why do you reckon that's happening like that when you're writing spontaneously?
I have no idea. I suppose with this stuff, there was not a lot of revision. We think it was just like, all right, sit down. I need to write one song, set of lyrics tonight. Go, you know, get it done. Obviously, do my revisions as I'm working, but there was not a lot of let it simmer for a week, go back to it, revise, a lot of changes made, right? Does this make sense? Blah, 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 blah. This was like really get it written. Okay. Book the studio for the next day, go in, get the song recorded, and then probably didn't look back at the lyrics until I was typing them up for the booklet. So there is probably a lot of that. Whereas with Psycroptic, it's everything is written, and then I leave it to simmer for, you know, a week, whatever. Go over it, revise it, look over it. Then when I've got it to a point where I've revisited it a few times over a few, you know, different days, weeks, whatever it might be, and then it gets sent out to Dave, Joe, to other people to have a look at and go over. So, I mean, there's the amount of effort that goes in to the two bands is very different. Whereas, yeah, I mean, Domination Campaign's about just get in, get it done, let's not fuck around and stuff. Whereas Psycroptic, I mean, the writing process for a Psycroptic album, it goes for, you know, a year or more and it's very, you know, intensive work on it. Whereas Domination Campaign stuff's like course of about 8 weeks and we're done. So that's where a massive difference would be, just simply because of the amount of revision that's done.
I mean, it sounds like you're, and I hate to say it, it sounds like you're crapping on your own project a little bit. Like
no, it's not bad. It's just, I don't know. I suppose it's just different mindsets for the two different bands. Mm-hmm. It's not that I think that my work with Domination Campaign shit or anything like that. It's just very different approach to doing it. I feel like if I really got in to the Domination Campaign stuff and overworked it,
mm-hmm.
like what I do with Psycroptic, I wouldn't say I overworked it, but, you know, if I keep revising, keep changing it, it takes that spontaneity out of it and it takes the magic that I'm trying to create and work with away from it, because they're two very different animals, you know, the two project, or, you know, Psycroptic versus Domination Campaign. So it's really trying to keep the spontaneity about it.
So when you're talking about a lack of effort, you're not using it in the way like, oh, that student doesn't shows a lack of effort in class. You're more using it you want the art to be rooted in the spontaneity.
Yeah, yeah. So for example, with Domination Campaign, I might sit down and write a set of lyrics in about, say, 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then my revisions are basically done as I'm going. You know, I'm looking back over, oh, I could change that, blah, blah, blah. And then when it's done, it's done. Whereas Psycroptic, I might spend 5 hours on a song initially, and then a week later I might go back to it and I might rework it for another 3 hours, and then it'll go to Dave Haley and he's like, I like this, but I don't like this. Maybe you could rework this. Here's maybe a few ideas or whatever. And then it'll be worked again. You know, I might spend another 3-4 hours on it. So a song might, like one set of lyrics with Psycroptic might have 10 to 15 hours spent on it, whereas a Domination Campaign song's 3 to 4 hours. Done, mm-hmm. go, you know.
So, like, you're definitely, are you in some way trying to create a space where you can take a break from, like, all the work that has to go into a Psycroptic release in a way?
Yeah, definitely. Like, the spontaneity is the thing that I really enjoy about it, and the whole, you know, let's just, this sounds cool, like, and I've always said this with, you know, all music, all art, you know, a lot of the time your first idea is your greatest idea, you know, and sometimes you can work it and work it and work it. You can end up so far from where you started that you've got a totally different thing. Whereas with the Domination Campaign stuff, I really didn't want that to be the case. It was like, you know, my first idea was this should be the opening riff. And so I've stuck with that, you know, and, you know, this riff should be the chorus. I've stuck with that. I haven't tinkered with it. Same with all the lyrics and stuff. you know, it's like Spurs versus good. Cool. Let's go with it. Bang, bang, bang. You know, and it's just, it takes all the pressure out of it, I suppose you'd say as well. Whereas with Psychroptic, there is a lot of, there's a lot of pressure for it to be a certain thing. You know, even though we do change the way we sound, the way we write, blah, 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 there's always that expectation on, I suppose, a certain amount of quality with it. Whereas with Domination Campaign, there's no, you know, it's a new project. It's something that I do because just to do something totally different. So yeah, there's, I suppose that lack of pressure on me for it to be anything in particular is what's so brilliant about it for me. I can just go with it, have fun, and, you know, my first ideas, I can just go, okay, cool, I'll run with that. And if people don't like it, I don't really give a fuck, to be honest. But luckily people seem to like it, so.
Yeah.
It's good.
Has discovering this outlet made you more excited to do Psychroptic?
It has. And I mean, because for so many years, I mean, I've been working with Psychroptic since 2004. So what's that? It's 20 years this year. And it's like, you know, because while I, you know, until I did Domination Campaign, I'd done nothing else. Since I started with Psychroptic, it was Psychroptic and nothing else. And then doing these Domination Campaign albums, it's pulled me away and given me some more, you know, direction and stuff. So when it does come to doing Psychroptic stuff, it will have that familiarity, I suppose, you know, and what I've always done and what I've always loved doing. So, I mean, at the moment we're in the very, very early stages of starting to write again now. So it's something I'm starting to get really excited for again. So, yeah, it is nice to have another outlet to sort of explore different ideas and, you know, take different approaches and all the rest from, you know, from just doing Psychroptic for 20 years.
Okay, great. Well, that leads really nicely into our final question, which is, you know, just if you could summarize what the role is of lyrics in Domination Campaign, what would that be?
To keep the songs heavy, well, I suppose to keep the vocals matching the heaviness of the music, to me, like having heavy subject matter and heavy topics, which obviously being the World Wars is pretty much about as heavy as you can get.
Sure.
So, yeah. So I suppose because the music is so heavy and straight down the line, I really wanted the lyrical content to match that.
Yeah, well, definitely succeeded on that on that count. Well, thank you so much for sticking around and chatting with us. This has been really interesting.
That's good. It was good fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Where can people check out this, what's going on? And is there anything, you said the third album eventually, is there anything in the works? Are you ever going to tour?
There's been talk of it very loosely this year. With it looking like Cameron, old Psychroptic bass player, getting involved, it may open a few more doors for some live stuff. And me and Joe have been discussing it because I think Joe's getting kind of keen to get out and play some shows on drums. I'm getting kind of keen. So, yeah, we'll see what happens as the year goes on. The reception for the album's been awesome, like way better than what we'd expected it would be. So, yeah, it's kind of giving us some drive to get in the rehearsal room and start really seeing what we can do with these songs on the live front. So hopefully as the year progresses, there might be some more news on that front.
And what are the preferred platforms for keeping up with this info?
Instagram, Facebook, and that's about it. I'm a little bit shit with social media, so... If nothing's going on, there'll be no updates on there. But yeah, if people keep an eye on it, they'll get updated on if any shows are coming up or if when we start writing again.
Cool. Well, as always, we'll have that info in the description of the episode.
Yeah.
Awesome. No worries. All right. Thanks, guys. And
take care.
No worries. Good night. Thanks so much.
Cheers. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Lingua Italica. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you stay tuned for our next episode. Before we leave, we just wanted to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation and the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We pay respects to their elders, past and present.